Welcome to Food Joy Club Christmas Edition. I'm Michael.
I'm Jenna.
And we are going to dig into some classic holiday foods and beverages. I know it's not all encompassing, but we sort of figured let's look at stuff that a lot of people would probably have on their table during the holidays, some different drinks, some of which are more popular, some of which are more controversial. All of the beverages actually are homemade with the case of the I think it's the hot buttered rum and the mulled wine. I followed some sort of New York Times cooking recipes just so people could follow along if they want. We'll probably throw a link in the bio after this just so you can see what we did and see how you like it as well.
Where are the pies from?
Pies from the store. Classic bakery. Most people are familiar.
Okay.
Yeah, because I could not be bothered to try and bake these.
No shame. There's no shame.
Oh, no. I enjoy paying the dollars not to have to do it myself. So delighted to put it in front of us. And then we've got some sort of classic biscuits, cookies, depending on how you want to call them. So the Danish cookies. We had to dig through the sewing kits to find this one, but indeed this one does have cookies. And then sort of a ginger snap or a ginger biscuit. This one has stem ginger on top of like the normal sort of ground kind. So we'll try those, see how we feel about them, what we love, what we hate, everything in between. I don't know if we'll try and pair them. I don't know if eggnog and pumpkin pie is going to be a thing, but we can also do that as well. The movie strikes us. You're like, not what I had in mind.
I don't think that it would not be a thing.
Someone's doing it out there. I find that mulled wine pairs with most things, in particular itself. So can you try that as well? So first question for you before we get into it. What are some of your favorite holiday foods and beverages?
I mean, I love an eggnog and I love hot cider, a good hot chocolate. Like you get the little candy cane sometimes or the little mini marshmallows. Yeah, I would definitely say that. I've always thought I would love hot buttered rum because I like butter and I like hot things. But then I think the first time I actually had it, I was just like, oh, this is just melted butter.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the worst thing. So I've actually never had this. So when you suggest it's like, cool, something I've never tried before, I obviously never made. So I was like, let's give it a go. So if it's terrible, well, you know who to
It's not terrible. It was just one of those things where I think the name always sounded so much more appealing.
Well, it sounds great.
Then, you know, I mean, why don't we start with that then?
You like hot, you like butter, you like rum. Right. You're like, oh, yeah, this should work. All right.
I'm going to give it a little stir.
Oh, yeah. I'll do the same. I can see the butter has migrated towards the top. All right, here.
Yeah, and also it's very strong because there isn't a lot of a mixer.
Well, basically, yeah, because with the recipe, it's basically a quarter cup of rum in each of these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
it's a thing.
It is what it says on the tin, you know?
It's not a, you know, line.
No, right. It hits expectations pretty on the nose.
Right, yeah.
I was thinking that somehow these magically come together into something warm. So what do you like? What are you maybe underwhelmed by?
There isn't much flavor outside of the rum. So, like, if you, you know, and I didn't, my liquor of choice is not rum per se. Mm. And so if you don't really like just a bold rum in your face.
Rum forward.
It's very rum forward with like a, you know, like you don't have to use chapstick afterwards.
Oh, the butter helps with that. Yeah, exactly. Nice glossy finish.
But yeah, it's kind of just, it's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a lot of like different nuance where this can, because you can have like the cloves and like the nutmeg and then the citrus on top of like a good wine. So it's like, it's got all these things going on where this is butter and rum.
It really, like, it's all in the name, hot butter rum, the end. I thought maybe the butter would give it some depth, and it probably does, but, like, I also don't want it to be, like, half butter in order
I think this is an accurate amount.
Yeah. I guess if it's really, like, if it's, this has been sitting for just a little bit, it's, like, proper hot, maybe it's a little more interesting, but it probably just gives it an extra point, I think, on the 10 scale. For me, I was just like, okay, the rum's definitely there. The water that's added makes it a little easy to drink. And the butter. And then there's the brown sugar, which obviously sweetens it a little bit. Yeah, but there's not a ton, so it's not overpowering. You know, this is the sort of thing where I have, I'm like, I'm not angry, but I'm not going for more.
Finishing the cup.
Not even. Like, the classic thing I like to quote, prue from the Great British Bake Off. Like, it's not worth the calories. And that's one of the most damning things you can say, I think, about any sort of food, particularly if it's a little richer and all that.
That's the only time I use that phrase is when it comes to baked goods.
Yeah, like, as appropriate.
Yeah, like, because it's like, I'm very particular about my donuts. Like, I like donuts, but I'm very particular. So if it's just like a Dunkin' donut, I'm like, I know there's not.
So it's funny. Like, as much as I enjoy food generally, donuts is one of those things that I just never got into. And candy. Like, which I'm freaking just as well. I've got enough issues. Like, in terms of things I enjoy that are high calorie and all that sort of thing. But the only exception is like a cider donut. There's something about that is like, yes, I will get a dozen and I will be eating these.
Donuts.
You're welcome, you know. Maybe.
Cake donuts are so much better than like a Rise donut because you have to have like the yeast, like donuts at Rise or whatever, immediately. Otherwise, it's just not good.
Yeah, like fresh off the press. Like
Cake donuts you can have even the next day or something like that.
Yeah.
It will still be.
Whereas like, what is it? The traditional donut you get from like Dunkin's or Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fine. But like for me, the absinthe, just like this is 300 calories I just didn't need.
Yeah.
I don't want to hate on people who really enjoy them. Like, great, more donuts for you, I guess, less competition.
I recently had Daily Provisions, the crullers, the French crullers.
And that's a...
It's a chain.
Right. There's one in a store, I know. But I know there's a few,
Yeah, there's two in the city.
Outside as well.
But they are $5 a donut, which...
Hey, rent's got to be paid somehow.
That because I grew up where donuts were 50 cents and a bear claw maybe was... $1 or something like that. But they were one of the best donuts I've had in quite some time.
That reminds me.
You ever see one? Just
I'll let you know.
Just pay that $5.
I'll probably keep walking, honestly. Yeah, just like, I've got a lot of other things I'll pay $5 for sure. 50 cents you were mentioning reminds me when I was in primary school. And I think every Friday they would have these bagels. You had the salted or plain, right? And you'd come in. And you get it for 25 cents a piece. And I thought that was the best thing ever. And now I'm just like, I stare at a bagel and they're like, that'll be $2. You want something on, it's going to be $7. I'm like, all right, I see how it is.
I was going to say $2 is still cheap.
Yeah, right. New York standard is basically free, right?
Right, no.
All right. So not hot on the hot buttered rum. What do we want to do next? Do you want to swap into a solid?
I mean, we can try all the drinks and then we can pair them.
Okay. So, yeah. Now we're going from lights to the scent. All right. So, this is the mulled wine. So, what did I throw into this? Sort of like a medium-bodied red. I don't even remember the type of grape. But it has cinnamon. It has cloves. It has green cardamom. Also, it has orange peel and brown sugar. And then, actually, I squeezed half an orange into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you have it. All right. This is for garnish. But immediately, everyone take that off.
I think it's a heavy wine for mulled wine.
Yeah?
Because I can taste the wine part of it.
Mm.
Where if you did like a fruity wine that you probably wouldn't eat with a dinner, then like it would like absorb all those fun baking spices and juice. Because like, I feel like this was like this wine probably would have gone well with like red meat.
Really?
I could be totally wrong.
I'm tasting the spices, but they're not like pungent. And this is my issue with a lot of recipes is they're like, oh, throw this in. And it sounds like a lot. You need to double it.
Yeah. I always, whenever like I bake stuff, I'm like a teaspoon of cinnamon. Like it's going to be a tablespoon.
Right. You're like, am I a joke to you? It's like not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this called for only three, pods of cardamom. I was like, man, this should be probably at least
cardamom
six.
Can be like.
It can overpower.
Yeah. Cardamom can be tricky, but I do love green cardamon.
Right. But like, yeah.
Did you do cinnamon sticks or cinnamon powder?
Sticks.
Yeah.
You know, and I let it steep for a while and that's the sort of thing on the heat. But yeah, it's not bad. Not the favorite that I've made. For me, the wine isn't the problem. I think the wine's fine. Because I think in general, if you're getting the spices right, you want something that doesn't get overwhelmed by them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a matter of taste. Like, do you like a more full-bodied wine or do you prefer something lighter? Like,
it depends on... pairing.
Fair enough.
Like, I would say, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, the sangria is kind of also what I think of with mulled wine. You'd want, like, the same, like, fruity-ish, lighter wine. than you would want like a drier with like for like cocktail wine, I guess. That's the only thing. It's not like it's bad. I would drink this whole glass without it.
Okay, well, that's already an upgrade over our previous one.
Yeah.
I think sangria is a great example. It's just like they should complement because you're throwing in all that fruit, you're putting in sugar. And for me, I think
a Bordeaux or something like that, you know?
Okay, well, no, that would just make me sad because like that's like...
Right, yeah.
And this is why you don't use like your best wines for a mulled wine, right? Yeah. You're not using like $100 or anything for this. Use something that's serviceable, like a mid-range or whatever. It's like, you know, it's not sort of some of the infamous, boxed wines or anything like that.
Yeah.
You go up from that, but you don't want to get too fancy.
After 18, I haven't had Franzia.
I have, but it's still been the better part of 20
years. Maybe if I was on a tube and a river and you bring the sack bag wine.
Wow, you're really selling it.
I
prefer wine that comes in the sack. It's the whole aesthetic.
Yes, exactly.
And it really does it for me.
But it's all about safety. You don't want to pop your tube.
There you go. Glad you're looking out for that. Because when I'm whitewater rafting on a tube, first thing I'm thinking about is safety.
This isn't whitewater rafting. Oh, okay. This is you're getting drunk on a lazy river on a tube. If you've never done this, then you need to look into it.
I have not.
It is quite
I've funny. Had alcohol on a boat.
No,
but
this
that's
is,
about it.
You spend a whole afternoon on a tube and you get another tube just to put your cooler of drinks in.
Okay.
And then you just kind of float down.
So you sort of like reel it in. It's like on a little rope and you reel it in if you're thirsty.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
yeah, kind of fun.
Your butt just is in the water the whole time pretty much. And your friends are all, you know, like next to you and stuff.
That sounds fun.
It's a fun time.
Yeah. All right.
That's so when you need bagged wine.
So now we've got the use case for bagged wine, really. Though I've had people telling me, Michael, you actually need to check out some of these new brands that are coming out with very decent wine.
I've had some okay canned wine. Which I would have been like...
I think half of France just like felt a pain and they don't know
no,
why.
No, there have been French like wineries do it now as well. So they're, you know, the youth of today.
There's a French comedian, I don't remember his name, but I saw on Instagram where he's got this whole little poem that he will, you know, start on stage about basically canned wine and how he feels about it. It's quite, and he's French, so it's entertaining.
That we're actually fine. With some wine in a can.
Yeah. I feel like the French talking about wine anytime is going to...
It's going to make you feel a certain sort of way one way or another. They definitely have strong views. They have thoughts.
I feel like this makes me want to have the pecan pie.
Shall we just naturally go into that?
Because it's like, it kind of makes me salivate a little bit.
Yeah. Well, because it's got some acidity. It's a little, it's not really tart, but like relative to this, it's going to be. So let's go right into it. All right. Nice and gelatinous.
What's that, you know, corn syrup for you?
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the food pyramid.
In the U.S., it certainly is. I was talking earlier. I saw some really old recipes from before corn syrup became the standard for this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just like goopy or whatever. And it was almost like a custard. And I was like, well, that looks lovely.
Mm-hmm.
I love pecans, and I want to love pecan pie. But each time, like, I kind of like that, but I also have regrets.
It's also the ratio. I've made a pecan pumpkin pie. So you literally just do the praline, the pecan praline on top of a pumpkin pie, and you get rid of this lovely...
This goop.
And I mean, it's like the best of both worlds then, because the best part of a pecan pie is the pecan praline in my mind.
Yeah, because if you take off the pecans here, this is not a pie I want to eat. This is really sweet and I don't know how to describe the texture. Gloopy isn't right, but it's just like it's like a semi gelatinous thing. Like if you didn't just
it's like a kind of a pudding.
I'll just go with the chocolate pudding, honestly.
But I'm saying I would say it's like a pudding texture.
Like this amount I could eat.
That size, you mean?
Yeah.
This was a small piece.
Yeah, kind of somewhat on purpose. I was just like, I don't know.
No, I'm just saying, like, you would
It's not a freedom-sized piece. Yeah. It's just, I would just need bigger plates.
And we don't have any Cool Whip.
No, it's okay. I realized, I knew I was going to call out for this. I was like, I could even make this at home because it's very easy to make. It's like...
But you just got to get the tub. there's also been quite the debate in my office versus can versus tab Cool Whip.
You mean like
the aerosol?
When you say like
the one that's good for the environment.
No, relatively speaking, yeah, it's only a plastic tub. The other thing, all sorts of fun things going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, the fact that you went back for the mold wine,
it's not bad.
Yeah, I think we're definitely like
butter brown. Yeah. Like, yeah, I went back a few times because I'm also very stubborn. If I don't like something, I feel the need to convince myself.
Right,
and my friends think I'm crazy for this. They're like, you don't have to have it, and I'm like, well, I don't want to give up so soon.
It's just watered down rum.
Right.
That's, honestly.
No. And if you don't water it down, then you're just, then it's just drunk.
Then
you're just drunk.
Okay, so there's a quarter cup of rum in each of these cups. Right. So, like, you don't even need that. It's just going to be that way.
And a hot toddy was also kind of similar because, to me, I'm like, that's like whiskey and lemon.
What's in a hot toddy?
I think it's just like hot whiskey and lemon. I could be wrong, but I was like,
is there tea involved? Or am I making, I'm probably making that up.
I don't know.
Because I was thinking it was like a British thing. I'm like, I feel like tea needs to be here. I'm probably totally off. I mean, I'm sure the internet will inform me.
I could see like an Earl Grey actually working well in that scenario. If you have like the lemon and then you just add whiskey.
I feel like because whiskey is its strong personality, right, you need tea with some as well.
Right. I could see it like working. I don't know.
Maybe I'll experiment.
A barista, or not a barista, a mixologist friend.
A tarista, I don't know.
To do it. Okay. I actually was saving this on purpose.
Oh, I see. Okay.
These are more my favorites, and okay, I think that they naturally go well together.
Okay.
Even though I kind of want to finish that, because I'm not going to want to probably go back from eggnog to wine.
Because they're like opposite ends of the spectrum, aside of
also. But I'm also, this is supposed to be for tasting, so I have to remind myself that too.
Each sip is a taste.
I don't finish everything.
As long as
eggnog have alcohol in it?
Yes.
Oh.
It has rye whiskey.
Okay, so I never drink my eggnog or it's always straight eggnog. I never spike it.
I thought the standard was to have alcohol in it.
Oh, I don't know.
And the other was so they could sell it in supermarkets.
Mm. See, but then I only do this at Christmas time is I put eggnog in my coffee. So I start my day with eggnog.
Wow. Okay with that.
But when it comes to like evening time, mm-hmm, I'm going to go for like the mulled wine or a spiked cider, like a hot cider with whiskey. But eggnog, like, I don't know.
So what I also found is, so because eggnog is basically just like, it's a lot of fat and a lot of sugar, the alcohol, to the degree possible, brings a little bit of balance, or at least cuts some of the fat a little bit.
But that's the best part.
No, hey, I mean, there's still the heavy cream and milk. It's not like, oh, no, we can't. Yeah. It's just like, if you don't do that, then it's different.
Because this is like definitely like thin for eggnog.
Yeah.
Because of the alcohol.
Also a little bit by design.
Okay.
Because as much as I enjoy eggnog, I don't love the really viscous.
Thick.
Because I'm, yeah.
That's what turns people off of eggnog.
Right.
But that's also what makes eggnog.
Yeah, I thought about that. But so I found this recipe, made minor adjustments, and I was like, you know, this works for me. But I know there's some people like, no, I want it to have like a similar consistency as lead. Otherwise, it's not real.
Glue.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to become glue. It's definitely going to stick with you.
Another, like, you know.
Mm, I like the smell of it.
No, it's a perfect, yeah, that smells exactly like eggnog.
Like, you can smell the egg and the nog all together.
What part is the nog?
I don't know. But I know what part the egg is because I had to separate all those things. Biggest pain, like making
egg. It doesn't smell like alcohol, at least.
There's a decent amount in there.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, it really smells like eggnog and not, you know, alcohol.
It's not the strongest I've made.
Like, whiskey-wise? Like, alcohol-wise?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But that's...
But it's in there. It also might have all sunk to the bottom.
It's also, like, fine as well.
Yeah, yeah. All right, now do the pumpkin pie thing. Pumpkin pie is never my top, but it's... I almost never, like, dislike a pumpkin pie.
Mm. I'm very particular about pumpkin pie.
Okay.
I've learned.
I feel like it's old reliable. And if you screw up a pumpkin pie, that's says more about baking skills and all that sort of stuff, because it's pretty straightforward.
But somehow people mess it up. This is very runny in my mind of pumpkin pie.
Is it?
Like, it's like a thinner one where I like it when it's like a custardy, like flan texture almost.
Oh, like more bouncy?
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's standard-ish.
Yeah.
I've seen some that are a little softer, or...
This is where they used a teaspoon of cinnamon and not a tablespoon.
Yeah.
I want that cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger.
There's not a ton of spice.
Right. And that's like the...
They definitely didn't skimp on the sugar, though.
Oh, for sure.
You can definitely taste that. I have the pumpkins there. I don't know. It's like...
There is pumpkin puree and there is sugar.
Yeah.
That is a fact. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. I give it a B. It's a solid B, pumpkin pie. It's not like the worst, but it's just kind of there.
B minus. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like... Yeah. I eat it. I'm not unhappy. I'm not
right.
thrilled.
This would have really, you know, if you had the Cool Whip, then it would be like, okay. Now it's like got elevated a little bit. But then that would have also blanded it out where, you know, like I want to see those like flecks of spices in it.
Well, it needs more spices going mm-hmm. on. Yeah, I could have used some sort of like whipped cream, some variety. Yeah, it's just like stock standard. And I think this, right. you know, store bought, you often get that. Is it like they're looking for something, no one's going to love it, but no one's going to be offended.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends that are like all about Costco pies.
For
like they really think
it's like,
that
like... It's like $5 or $6 and it's like this big.
Which is also very cheap.
Yeah.
I forget where I was recently that they had a strawberry rhubarb pie, but it was $17. And I'm just like, it just seems like too much money.
So that was my reaction. I did see like a fruit cake and it was like $36. I'm like, yeah.
$36 for a fruit cake?
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
I mean, there's probably about 10 pounds worth of stuff in it, I guess. But still.
Yeah, because I'm going to say like a few weeks ago or maybe a month ago, I made a fruit cake. It was from one of the Great British Bake Off cookbooks. Mm-hmm. It was called Sri Lankan. The baker herself, I think, was really from Malaysia.
Okay.
And it had like...
She wasn't one that like won a few, like one of the first like top five seasons or something like that.
She didn't win.
Okay.
She made it pretty deep.
Okay.
Into her...
There was one that won who I think was Sri Lankan and she was like the cutest lady ever.
I'll have to think
about
that.
I can't remember him.
It's been a while.
She was, I like was obsessed with it. Like that was one of the first shows that I like full cried when she won. I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, Great British Bake Off is definitely like my comfort food show.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
Because even though they're stressed, and all, it's all so friendly and everyone
right.
wants everyone to
like
succeed.
Like they help each other out, you know. There isn't somebody screaming at them, mm-hmm. you know.
I discovered it when I was in quarantine in Taiwan. Mm. This was like, 2021 area. And I had like not much to do. I was in this little hotel room for like 14 days. It's like, well, what's this baking show? It's like, all right. And I watched it. It's like, this is the cutest thing.
Yeah.
And because, like, you know, a lot of work and everything else was kind of stressful, I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
I absolutely blitzed through multiple seasons because at that point they'd already been running for like 6 or 8 years or something. Mm.
Yeah.
So really, really enjoyed it. Here, for like Food Joy Club, I also do like some like watch parties. Everyone brings a little bake. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
A cute little thing.
Yeah. I want to live in that tent. You know, just like...
Not if it's chocolate week. Mm. It's too hot. Mm-hmm. Every time they have like a chocolate week or something like that, it'll be like... I forget what it is in Fahrenheit. That's something like... It'll be like in the 80s, I think, Fahrenheit. Mm. And chocolate does not do well like 80s or 90s.
Yeah.
And of course, they have all this delicate stuff and it needs to set. It just won't. It starts melting and falling apart. And people start crying and it sucks.
Yeah.
And you feel really bad for them because they've made these beautiful designs. And they just sort of fall apart.
I was just mean like the color scheme.
Oh.
The decor. Not when they're baking. I don't want to be in there when they're doing that. I'm like.
Like the.
It always like shows like bunnies about and like, you know, like meadow and mm-hmm. whatnot. I'm like, that's cute.
I don't know if they do a different color every year, but they've got like a quasi like mint green thing or like the aesthetic that they have. It's kind of cute.
Yeah. It's like an Easter egg.
Yeah, straight up. All right, so we did the pies.
Yeah, see, that was a bad choice.
Yeah?
To go back.
Oh,
to
go back. Yeah, because you're going to go from super sweet and like, you know, yeah, to something that'll suddenly taste like bitter and sour, even though it isn't. There's sugar in here for sure.
Yeah.
Actually, I feel like I needed that for balance. after all this sugar of various forms.
I just don't know how well my stomach is going to enjoy some spiked eggnog and cold wine at the same time. But I digress.
I don't think too much about mixing.
It's like, you know, milk was a bad choice.
It's like the everything. It's like the everything ice cream, or no, Superman ice cream of like Christmas beverages at that point.
What is Superman ice cream?
Is that only a Michigan thing? It's the sort of thing like a 5 to 9 year old would absolutely love.
Isn't it just like blue ice cream?
No, it's multicolored.
Okay.
It's pretty, it's the sort of thing a kid would be into. I don't even remember what the flavors are. But I think you've got a blue, I think you've got some sort of yellow, maybe a green, I'm not sure what. Yeah. Basically, it's just something kids get. And
but is it like bad for your stomach? I don't understand.
No, but it looks horrendous. It just looks like...
I mean, anything blue is unnecessary. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like this garish, like, color combo or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, there's bubblegum ice cream. That, you know, so like, yeah,
at least
it's
I know.
Just like blue.
Yeah, it reminds me, like, have you ever had Faygo? It's out of Detroit, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But you may have, it's in the Midwest. Yeah. I mean, they have things just like, I think it's just like Red or Red Pop or whatever.
Yeah. Well, Big Red is like Texas national.
Okay.
I say national because they consider it a nation. but yeah, like everybody drinks Big Red and the flavor is red.
Yeah, right. You've got that sort of stuff. You're like, I don't know what that, but you taste it. You're like, yeah, no, this tracks. I feel like that's the correct color to apply to this, even though I have no idea what it is.
Sure.
Okay, let's try these. Just sort of see how we feel. I assume very few people dislike a Danish butter cookie.
See, I don't actually like them.
Oh, wow. I said, like, you know, okay.
Because they're fine, but it's like, I always like, because also as a kid, I thought the pretzel was salt.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and
the big bits.
Giant sugar crystals, but it's not that sweet still. And so I would get very...
That's what I love about
it. Would make
that.
Me angry.
Like, there's definitely sugar in here, and there's definitely butter.
For a child, they're just like, what is this? A butter cookie?
Yeah, I think... I don't.
There's no chocolate?
Yeah, right.
But this is, like, perfect for tea in the morning.
Yeah.
As an adult, and then I can eat cookies at breakfast. But as a child, I was just like, I would get offended.
I can eat a full tin of these.
Yeah?
I mean, not now, but like, in general, these are very easy for me to eat. Because they're not super strong flavored. They're sweet, but not...
There's not enough flavor. There's almond. They have like a dash of almond, I feel.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't even know what's in the thing.
To me, it's just like, they're a vessel for something else, and I don't know what the else is.
It's like saying like a chip is a vehicle for, you know, guacamole or something.
I need more chips because I need to finish the guacamole.
Right.
With this, I'm like, what do I need to finish? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Does it pair well with either of these?
I don't think so.
I'll find out.
I would think like tea would be like the only thing. You don't need more sugar and starch, I feel like, with eggnog.
That didn't work.
Yeah. If somebody really liked hot butter rum, maybe the hot butter rum would work.
I should have just dunked it in there.
Right, so, exactly.
In fact,
yeah, just added more butter to the butter cookie.
That. We're going to see.
So, no.
Actually, I don't hate it. The rum's kind of nice.
Yeah, because it puts rum flavor on the cookie.
Exactly. I actually recommend trying it. You let me know how you feel.
All right, let's try the circle shape. I also always wanted them to be different flavors because they're different shapes.
I feel
shapes.
Like these two are.
Because I was like, which one do I choose? I don't know. And I was like, they all taste the same. I guess I was a native child.
I feel like these are different, but I could be making that up. See? I don't know.
Yeah. Made them slightly more exciting.
There you go.
Drunk cookie. There we go.
That's not terrible. But then you've still got all this leftover hot butter rum that you have to do something with.
Then there's all this leftover rum that we just...
I know, what a tragedy. First world problems for sure.
Okay, have you ever had Walkers? Did you see, what made you select these?
They sounded really gingery. Mm-hmm. They had stem ginger.
I was looking for
a classic ginger snap or something like that. Yeah. I didn't see them. I was like, well, this is going to be gingery. And it's a biscuit, so I'll try it. So I assume
what is stem ginger versus ginger? What is this? Like, what is that?
I think it's actual pieces of ginger.
It looked like candied orange or something.
Yeah, I know. That you've also got like wheat. This is very confusing.
The art department, what we're going for.
All right. Let's see here. I'll take one that has not been completely destroyed.
And they're a biscuit, not a ginger snap.
Correct.
So, like, that is...
It's kind of a snap.
They're crunchier than expected.
And you've got the chew of the stem ginger. I kind of like them.
I wonder if the Scottish word for candied ginger is stem ginger. So it tastes like candied ginger.
I think that's what it is.
Right.
I'll have one of these. That's where I'm at. I was like, pleasant. I like ginger. I think when it comes to like a ginger cookie, ginger biscuit, I like a molasses ginger.
Yes, I agree.
Molasses gives depth.
Yeah.
Ginger, that spice.
And I prefer to use ginger powder versus actual candied bits of ginger, I think, as well, just so the consistency of the cookie is all.
Are you saying you prefer to use, is it powdered? Or?
Yeah.
The only thing you run into there is it may not be as potent because it may not be as fresh.
Right, yeah.
So using something else that's like just straight up ginger can be nice. Because like
I've never used fresh ginger for a ginger molasses cookie dough.
Neither have I, actually. But in here, I got something that was like just hit a bit of chew, and I assume that was
It says candied ginger on
there. And I was like, that's perfect. I enjoyed it because it gave a little ginger kick. And take a little piece.
The other half of my broken piece. This is very gingery, I would say, for the average person, because some people are like, I don't want too much ginger. They think it's too spicy. Exciting.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't like ginger, definitely I don't recommend having these.
Well, people like ginger snaps that don't like ginger, though.
Ginger snaps are not that gingery.
Right, yeah.
They're more snappy.
So, whatever the flavor of snap is.
Yeah, exactly. I remember, I don't know if Costco, not Costco, IKEA still has them.
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about.
They're super thin.
They're very thin.
Those are my favorite.
And, like, they're not particularly gingery, but there's just something very pleasant about eating them.
Yeah.
I could not tell you the brand. I don't even know if it's an IKEA brand.
Any food that is served or sold by IKEA is IKEA brand.
Oh, okay.
There I don't think they have like any other, but I love getting this food at IKEA. I got like salmon paste that comes in like a toothpaste container, which is very smart because if you have like paste, Europeans also put tomato paste instead of in a stupid can.
Mm-hmm.
You never need the whole can. So instead, a little lid on it and put it back in your fridge.
So right. So when I lived in China, I'd go to Hong Kong, Marks and Spencer's to get, they have actually some nice groceries and that sort of thing. And I use tomato paste for a lot of different things, but problem. You open up one of those little cans and then it's, you know.
But the salmon paste is much more fun because you can like put it on things and make it look like toothpaste and like make people like eat it and they're like, what is this? And I'm just like
enjoying my fishy toothpaste. Yeah. You're like, wow, you're really selling it. But right, having the tomato paste like in the tube, I was like, this is brilliant. So I could just chuck it in the fridge and it would last months. Whereas in the can, if I get...
Yeah, more people need to buy...
Less wasteful.
Things in paste.
In paste form, in tubes, like all
it's
food.
It's not just for senior citizens.
If there's anything folks should take away from today, all foods should come in tubes.
Exactly.
Like wine, right? Bags and tubes.
Bags and
tubes,
yeah. Portable.
Moral of the story.
Economical. There's another company, I forget what company it is, if it's like French, I want to say, or something. But they also have like the thins, and they have a lemon one, an orange one, and I think just like the original ginger one or something like that. And I can eat like a whole sleeve of those because they're also like, I don't know, an eighth of an inch, and they're only like that big. And so it just like, it really takes like five of them to feel like it's a real cookie. And that to me is like the perfect like breakfast cookie.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot actually dunk it for very long.
Wait, what's a breakfast cookie?
It goes with tea.
Oh. Okay, I thought it was like an all day affair. But...
Mm-hmm. Just like certain, yeah, see, there's like definitely a chunk of chewy ginger,
mm-hmm.
which I enjoy. But yeah, like cookies that I can like condone to have at morning time and not just feel like a degenerate.
Understood. All right. So looking at all this, what's our favorite beverage? What's our favorite food? How are you feeling?
Man.
I mean, the fact that I can see which you've, the order in which, the degree to which you finish each of these feels like I have a sense.
I do think that I had more wine poured than eggnog, so it was easier to finish. Ounces wise. I will always like pecan pie and I'll always like pumpkin pie. Depending on who makes it and where it comes from, I will finish said pies mm-hmm. or not. But I still will always, you know, like, because I'm also trying to think of like what other kind of desserts are being served after Thanksgiving. And it's like, those are kind of it, usually. Sometimes people bring like a cherry pie and I'm like,
I don't know. Got some sweetness, tartness. They're not terrible.
But I'm like, I don't want that.
Blueberry pies are the ones I always get most disappointed in. I love blueberries, but then I eat these things. I'm like,
blueberry pie.
They're like fine. They're fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. They never blow me away.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah. I don't know if I ever had a blueberry pie.
Yeah.
I like an apple pie, but they also have to be like, I don't know.
Apple pie is also one of those things. Like, I can eat this or I cannot, and I'm not going to be upset.
If it looks like it came out of a can. I'm going to be a hard pass.
Okay, that's going to be a lot of them, I think.
It's going to be a hard pass.
Because like, I feel like a lot of particularly store-bought that's really industrial.
See, I normally also never eat store-bought.
Which is probably the way to
like,
go.
Or if somebody like, shows up to a family
mm-hmm.
like holiday with store-bought pies.
It happens. You know who your favorite family member is after that? My least favorite. You have to... Going to bakeries, like proper bakeries, is probably the way to go if you're not going to make it yourself.
Oh.
They're much more likely to do it in a more traditional way.
And I just tell them, like, how about you bring some dinner rolls? I'll make the pie.
Oh, that works as well. Yeah. Dinner.
I like to
and
make
they're like And they're like Pillsbury dinner rolls, which honestly are fine.
No. Hawaiian rolls.
Isn't it like more of a
yes.
a bun? Or
it's like a cheap Parker House roll.
Okay. Yeah, I've definitely had them.
Those were like, I don't know how that became a Thanksgiving tradition. But
they're almost brioche. Not exactly, but...
Yeah, but they're very sweet.
Yeah.
And then the next day, you make turkey sandwiches.
With your Hawaiian roll bun thing?
Yes, maybe put a little cranberry sauce on there. Get a little wild.
I want to like cranberry sauce.
Mm.
But I...
That's another thing. I really like cranberry sauce. But it's also... This is basically like how I make cranberry sauce. I put the juice of an orange, mm-hmm. the peel of an orange,
okay.
cinnamon, clove, nutmeg, and like boil it down. And then like, but parts of my family, they do cranberry relish.
Is that like the thing that comes out of a can?
No.
Oh, okay.
I cannot get behind cranberry relish.
It's
basically, they put it like in a meat grinder. Raw cranberry.
You really know how to sell this.
Yeah. Raw cranberry.
Mm-hmm.
And then they add orange juice, walnuts,
right.
and I don't remember what else. But I'm like, it's crunchy. And it's like tart.
I mean, cranberries are.
Yeah. Very tart. But like, I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's like. It's
yeah, I just based on what you told me, it's just like, those ingredients to me in general are fine. But that, like, you know, combined
it's
like.
Very crunchy and sour tart.
Is it like that and this also like a gelatinous thing going on? No?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not.
No, I don't think they really even add. They might, I guess they maybe probably put some sugar on it.
Well, I think some fruits naturally have, was it pectin? Which then has the same effect. I don't know if cranberries do.
Yeah, I don't know what fruits do.
I forget.
I don't know.
I know I've definitely seen it somewhere, but I forget. Yeah,
I like making the cranberry sauce where it's like the stewed part of it.
Uh-huh.
I just use less sugar, so it still has that tartness.
Okay.
So it still cuts through the gravy and the turkey and the mashed potatoes.
Well, it's got a balance because like gravy is like pretty much just fat and like starch or something.
Yeah.
Fundamentally.
You literally just take the jus and then you add flour and butter.
So fat.
Yeah. All the good things.
Right, yeah, exactly.
All the good things in so adorable gravy boat.
You need something sour, tart, acidic to kind of cut through some of that.
And us Americans, we don't make salads at Thanksgiving.
I will say,
or vegetables very much. orange.
I mean, it's green bean casserole.
There's usually a green, yeah, right. But it requires a can of cream of mushroom
soup. Or like a cream of corn.
And a bag of deep fried onion topping.
Oh, man.
So whatever semblance of a vegetable was once there in green bean casserole, it has now become a gravy gelatinous mess as well.
So for me, it's between whatever that cream of corn thing is and green bean casserole in terms of least favorite traditional Thanksgiving dish.
I love really to hate a green bean casserole, though. They're pretty good. But it's like I don't really need another sloppy thing on my plate. After I have like the turkey, mashed potatoes, and covered those things with gravy. And then I've also it really depends on the stuffing.
Yeah.
Because if it's dry stuffing, if it's Stouffer's, or Stovetop. Stovetop, I think, is like the brand. But no, I think Stouffer's.
Is it out of a box?
It's out of a box. Yeah. It's cubed, you know, bread that who knows how long it's been there. But New York Times has put me onto like a stuffing bread pudding. So like you do your, like I get a sour.
Does it become savory or sweet at that point then?
Oh, it's totally savory.
Okay.
But it's just like the way you would make a bread pudding.
Oh,
so you add
egg
and broth to it and then bake it.
I get behind
and
that.
So it's like I get my own loaf of sourdough, cut it up.
Oh, okay. You
get
fancy
it
with the sourdough.
I
think most people use some sort of white bread.
Yeah, but it's because they're making like,
I know my mom would actually put it in the turkey.
Yeah, and see, I don't like that because then it comes out. You can use an ice cream scoop.
Yeah, it's kind of
that mush.
Whatever.
Right.
I'm doing this a lot because I do not know how to describe these textures, yes. But you know it.
My mom used to do that as well, and then we learned that you can actually get salmonella from that because
if it's undercooked,
it doesn't like fully, you know, get cooked in there, and so
yeah.
To me, it's like I put it on a. Like a casserole baking pan, like a 13x9, and just lay it. So it's like I still do like the mirepoix, and then I add mushrooms to mine and breakfast sausage, and then I put somewhat dry bread, all of that goodness with lots of melted butter, and then raw egg. You whip it into the broth.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like you're making scrambled eggs in a way.
Okay.
And then you pour that on top of everything, and then you bake it. And so it comes out kind of gooey, like a bread pudding, but not like too much. And you still have like, because I like the sourdough because I want that crusty.
Oh, right, because you've got that.
Yeah, so it's not, because if you just do like white bread, it's all soggy then. It doesn't, you need like something sturdy to like withstand.
Yeah.
The liquids.
Honestly, I think whenever it came to Thanksgiving, I in general wasn't. My mom's a great cook, but just a lot of the traditional Thanksgiving things never really landed for me.
Mm.
The only things I tended to like were potato based. Whatever that.
How many different kinds of potatoes do you have?
Depended. Like sometimes we'd have like mashed potatoes, but and I got this recipe. It's such to the extent it's really a recipe from my mother, where you throw in butter, you throw in sour cream, you throw in. Like green onion or something, garlic, a bit of salt. Nothing too fancy, but then it's like, okay, it's not bad. And there's this baked one that she had that had like the cubed potatoes. And then I actually need to ask her the recipe because like I would just inhale that stuff.
It wasn't a scallop potato?
No, it was a bunch of cubes and like, I don't know, some sort of liquidy filling thing and then something crunchy on top and then she'd bake it and come out and it was delicious. That's all I got.
No sweet potatoes with the marshmallows on top? Oh,
I assume that was a Southern thing.
Oh.
I never had it. I didn't really see much of it. And I remember, actually, the first time I had this, I was in China, and they were doing a Thanksgiving thing. And they're like, oh, we went to this place that was owned by some Americans locally for like a traditional American Thanksgiving. And I was so excited. I got the sweet potatoes. I was like, what's this? I like sweet potatoes, but these were like diabetes. That's the only flavor I got from.
Yeah.
And with the marshmallows, I'm not hot on marshmallows to begin with. I'm like, I'll have them.
They have to be brûléed. You have to
it's
have.
It's a nice way of saying the torch.
Yes. Like that's, but yeah, no, those are, yeah. Candied yams are separate. And those are like when you keep them somewhat whole and like you literally have like a brown sugar butter sauce that you put on top. Or you just have like the mashed sweet potato with the marshmallow or whatever. So like yeah, there were no potatoes at Thanksgiving that were, you know, healthy at any point anymore.
I mean,
but I love a good mashed potato. I don't like when people get too fancy with it and make it like a paste. Like they really put it through the ricer.
Oh, like, I see.
I'm like, please just hand mash. I want
oh,
it.
Let's
I
get it all it. Smooth.
Yeah, when it's
like
too
baby
curated.
Food at that point. Exactly. It's like, I got teeth. I can do this.
Right. This is when things should not be a paste form.
But I know, again, seeing all the Instagram videos, this is apparently like the Michelin star approach to doing it. I was just like, to me, I just sort of think I could have gotten this at KFC for $3.
Right.
Because I associate that consistency mm-hmm. with
instant.
Very basic. Yeah, yeah, or instant. Like, this yeah. is, it's fine. Like, it's edible, but like, completely forgettable.
Yeah, you forget there were any potatoes harmed in the making of it.
There's not much left of them.
Yeah.
All right. So, conclusion on beverages. What was your favorite?
The beverages?
Yes.
I like them for different things.
Mm.
You know, it depends. Yeah. Like, I could have a mulled wine with dinner, and then this would be, you know, like when the slippers are on.
Your digestif. Of sorts. Yeah.
But I'm going to go to bed with a stomachache and be happy about it. But yeah. I mean, I've always liked mulled wine, though, and eggnog.
Yeah. Obviously, let it get cold a bit. Mulled wine is something that basically never makes me unhappy. Eggnog, like I was saying, if it's too gloopy, then I'm like, it's fine. But I'm like,
you got to cut it with coffee.
Wow, we're going, it's like, look, either you're getting alcohol or you're getting caffeine. You're getting
right.
some sort of drug.
Yeah, pretty much.
In here. I think here, though, I like the eggnog. It was straightforward. I could have probably done a little bit more with it, namely add more alcohol. Mm-hmm. So that came through. But I enjoyed it.
No, you did a very good job, by the way.
And so you can go back for that second glass.
Smell and flavor and whatnot. Like, it's like, you know, like that's what I feel like I want out of an eggnog.
Excellent. Last year, a lot of people liked it, and including some people who are not big fans because it wasn't super
so
heavy.
Yeah, thick. People get grossed out by that.
Which I get. Yeah. It's like, it's...
I guess I grew up with it, you know. I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like a goofy.
So with... Oh, I actually want to do a quick shout too. I think it's Coquito. Have you had this before? Mm. So I'm going to get totally wrong, but I think it comes out of Puerto Rico. But I think basically it's very similar to eggnog in many respects, but there's like a coconut element.
Mm.
It's really nice. For me, it's just like, oh, it's like a cousin to eggnog. They're obviously, they feel related. Like, I don't know what the original derivations of either of these are, but...
Is it coconut, like, cream or coconut milk?
That's a great question. I have no idea.
Because I could see that being like a, you know, an alternative. It could be a vegan eggnog.
I doubt it's vegan. I'm sure there's dairy involved in some respect, but they have some sort of coconut element. It's really nice. And so it's got the, I don't know, you could call it tropical flavor going on. The last two Christmases I hosted for FoodJoy, we had some folks bring that over, and I was like, oh, I'd never heard of it before. I was like, this is cool. Yeah. For me. And immediately I was like, oh, this is just kind of like a different take on eggnog. I was like, I like it. So I just wanted to do a little shout out to that. I forgot to look for it. Otherwise, I would have thrown it in there just for comparison's sake.
Do you think you would be able to find it like pre-made, though?
I think so. I mean, you can find eggnog pre-made. It's
that's like more, I don't know, like...
So like in Astoria, you know, we have a pretty big Latin American community. So I feel like we could probably go to some local grocery stores that sort of focus on food from that
region. I
guess
I'm more thinking, like, you couldn't go and, like, it would be hard to find, like, a pre-made pina colada, I guess, is what I'm saying. Where if it's, like, already, like, all the components mixed in.
I have no idea. I've never looked, to be honest. I assume it's out there.
Yeah. I just found out that in New York, you cannot get mixers at a liquor store. They can only serve alcohol-based beverages.
That's random.
So, like, if you wanted, like, a simple, like, different kinds of syrups, you'd go to a grocery store for those. I'm like, not. You can't get, like, I don't know, seltzer water at a liquor store. And I'm like,
which is like, right, these things being the same place would make more sense.
Right, but. Like, it's like, I don't know. Like, so I'm wondering, can you, like, because, yeah, like, I used to complain about Texas liquor laws because, like, there were, you know, like, a lot of annoying little ones, but they would have the best, like, liquor stores, like, gigantic. I mean, also, Texas, you have, like, you know, massive things.
Yeah, everything's like bigger in Texas.
They would have like a whole aisle of just olives. So you could get like every kind of olive you could ever imagine. Right. And then every kind of like flavored tonic water. And like, mm-hmm. so that you get your entire bar like set at one spot or whatever. So appreciated that.
Yeah.
One thing about Texas.
Probably my number two, just because this is...
So eggnog was number one for you?
Number one, yeah. Okay. Of these three, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it delivers. It's pretty decent. I enjoyed it. Obviously, I drank most of it. I don't need to drink this again.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how I feel about it. I was just like,
yeah.
It is what it is. I'm not excited about it.
I think there's better things to do with rum.
100%. That's the other thing. I was like, better things to do with my butter. I could throw those in some molasses ginger cookies, for example. Like, that's going to spark a lot more joy. So, yeah, one, two, and a very far third. Okay, how'd you feel about the various biscuits, pies?
Cookies, these are never the type of cookies that are served for my holidays.
Okay, got
we always
it.
Do a, like, Christmas cookie, like a cutout cookie. Like,
oh, one of those
sugar cookies that are decorated and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Or... more of a molasses ginger cookie, I would say, but that's only if I make them.
Got
but
it.
Otherwise, cookies aren't a big part of it.
Mm, fair. The pies?
I mean, well, like I said earlier, like I will always like a pecan
and
pumpkin.
So they're good enough, serviceable.
It's like store bought. I'm never gonna like go out of my way to have store bought pie.
I think for me, honestly, it's a little basic, but this is probably my favorite. Like, I just enjoyed eating that. The pumpkin pie was what it said it was.
Yeah.
Pecan pie wasn't really for me. It's just whatever that thing is, the bottom, not a big fan. And then, like, the ginger cookie, I enjoyed it. Not my favorite form of gingerish cookie.
Especially because it's so thick and hard. Like, that... thickness, I want it to be softer, and then it's still...
Right. Either it's a snap or it's chewy.
Yeah.
But it's like, not really either, and so it's also disappointing.
But the flavor is good.
Yeah, the flavor, but the texture doesn't really deliver.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Well, I'm glad we got to try some of these things, see how we feel about it. We will be sharing some of the recipes from the New York Times Cooking and elsewhere on the video itself. Check out foodjoyclub.com. Follow us, look out for more content, and thank you very much for joining us.
The Food Joy Club podcast is brought to you by Joy Club Media. Hosted by Michael Mercel Barg. Produced and edited by Celine Williams. Music is Moonlight Drive by Junior Arante from bensound.com. For more episodes of the Food Joy Club podcast, check us out on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and more. To support the show, leave us a review or follow us on social media.